The United States imports most of its oil, and the biggest supplier is the cartel known as OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. For decades, OPEC and its allies have manipulated oil output, sometimes for political influence, but usually to maximize profits without driving customers towards other forms of energy. Now the rising influence of extremist groups in the Middle East is combining with the fragility of some oil sheikdoms to put that balance at risk.
This week, we'll be airing a series of reports about the oil industry, who controls it, and how it's changing. We begin today with a question. Why can't the U.S. just buy more oil elsewhere, outside the Middle East? As NPR's Christopher Joyce reports, the oil market doesn't give buyers as much choice as they might want.
In the old days, oil came mainly from Texas. The Texas oil man, big, brassy, a fat cigar in his hand, became an industry icon.
We are the men of Texaco.
So did the Texas Star.
We wear the Texaco Star.
Along with the state's name.
We like to think of Texaco. We've got everything for your car.
By the time that advertisement was made, though, foreign producers, especially in the Middle East, had begun to encroach. And in 1959, at a yacht club in Cairo, foreign oil executives secretly agreed to collaborate in what eventually became OPEC. Texas was not invited into the club. For the consumer, though, oil had no patrimony.
See the USA in your Chevrolet.
Americans were encouraged to fill her up and see the country on four wheels. Oil remained cheap and plentiful.
America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along a levee.
The OPEC oil embargoes and price hikes of the 1970s changed that attitude. Industry economist John Felmy of the American Petroleum Institute says the effects lasted a decade.
We had the highest petroleum prices we've experienced this century in 1981, where the real price of a barrel of oil was $70 compared to $18 right now.
If the effects were painful, they also contained a cure.
Consumers adjusted their thinking and decided that this was going to be a long-term higher energy price situation, and so they shifted to more fuel-efficient cars and more efficient furnaces and other forms of equipment that use petroleum.
And the world's oil companies started looking harder for oil outside the Middle East.
Worldwide, we've seen a continual diversification of our petroleum, so that now you're seeing a lot more production coming from, say, deep water areas that we, quite frankly, weren't even sure we could explore for a decade ago.
By the end of the 1980s, OPEC's share of the world oil production fell by about half. Even though it's creeping up again, OPEC's influence will remain blunted if the world keeps finding new oil in places like Russia and the Caspian Sea and West Africa. But there's another if in this equation, according to political economist George Perry of the Brookings Institution in Washington.
If radical Islamist groups get control or coerce governments in the oil-producing nations to reduce their oil supply to the world, in that case, we have an altogether different situation. We have a very sharp increase in the price of oil that all major using countries would face.
Perry calculates that a 1% reduction in the world supply of oil can hike the price of a barrel as much as 20%. That scenario is not likely, says Perry. After all, most oil suppliers have to sell oil to keep their own economies afloat. But if something unexpected does happen to slow production from a major supplier, everyone is affected.
The way to think about the world oil market is that producers put oil out onto the world market and consumers buy off of that world market. You can think of it as a big bathtub that gets filled at one end and drained at the other end.
So if someone plugs the oil spigot from Saudi Arabia, which produces 12% of the world's petroleum, the oil level in the tub goes down for everyone and prices rise.
All the other countries that produce oil are going to sell that oil at the world price.
Howard Grunspecht is an oil economist at Resources for the Future and a former energy advisor with the Clinton administration.
So the fact that we get our oil from Venezuela or from Mexico or from Nigeria or from Canada, you know, that oil will come into the United States at the market price. So the fact that the oil does not directly come from the Middle East is not the issue.
If the oil market is a big bathtub, then major consumers should also wield some influence, right? Not really. Oil is freely traded and has no label attached. So if the U.S. wanted to unilaterally boycott, say, Saudi oil, that oil would be sold to someone else and eventually could end up in American gas tanks. So the U.S. is locked into a world market it doesn't control, like it or not. But producers don't hold all the cards. Michael Lynch, an economist with DRI WEFA, a Boston consulting group, points out that cartels like OPEC are vulnerable to cheaters, members who won't cut production when they're told to.
OPEC has been told for 25 years or so that they are going to own the world oil market within a few years, that the current weakness is temporary, just wait. And, you know, you'll have so much market share, people will be crawling to you begging for oil. And for 20 years, they've had constant battles over market share to try to keep the price from collapsing.
If a group of hostile suppliers were able to cut production and raise prices above the pain threshold, there's not much surge capacity outside the Middle East to help out. Most everyone is already producing oil flat out. But Howard Grunspecht of Resources for the Future says that strategy could backfire on the big producers the way it did in the 1980s.
They might end up with a situation where the world moves on to other sources of energy, sort of bites the bullet, if you will, and they're left with a lot of oil in the ground that nobody wants.
That, of course, would take time. For now, says Grunspecht, we're stuck with an oil market that we desperately depend on but can't control.
I guess we're going to have to live with it, I think, for the next 15 or 20 years. There are some things we can do around the margins. They're not enough to sort of insulate us from oil dependence or caring about the world oil market.
With gas prices hovering just over a dollar a gallon, that dependency might not seem very pressing until the price goes up again. Christopher Joyce, NPR News, Washington.